gone so bad now. David, what you got King James Version for that, if you would? Because I've got my new King James Version Bible here, and I've got several versions that I like to read. Sometimes I'm not really comfortable with some of the way they do certain texts, but I like to be in touch with some of the stuff that is kind of out there too, because you got to remember there's a lot of Bibles floating around, and there's a lot of honest people. Well, I say good people that are trying. I'm fortunate enough, and I'm not saying I'm right and everybody else is wrong, because I'm not right about nothing, and the Lord is right, and I just pray that He sees fit to keep working on me. But I talk to a lot of people in my job. I bump into people just all the time. And sometimes it seems almost amazing to me that people can have such a 180-degree out difference of opinions about something when they're quoting the same verses. But some of this one in the New King James Version I like to read because it's sort of smoother. It reads a little smoother. But I always try to read out of the King James. All right, but now I'm going to be reading in Isaiah 59 is where I'm going to be at. But before I start, I guess the title for today's thing is Are We Ready? Are you ready? Or maybe better yet, what are you ready for? Because everybody's ready for something, whether you think you are or not. It may not be what you think it is. But I've got a little poem I want to start off with. The young Bobo girl that was abducted here recently as a parent, a father of daughters, that kind of seems to bother me some too. Someone come to your home and just whisk them away. And then now there's no trace. I think that would really be a rough thing to be, a place that's just, I really pray I'm never in, and certainly not my daughters would ever be in. But y'all remember the Bobo family in your prayers. But that made me be mindful of a poem I've got, and I want to read it. And it's called, If I Knew. If I knew it would be the last time that I see you fall asleep, I would tuck you in more tightly and pray the Lord your soul to keep. If I knew it would be the last time that I see you walk out the door, I would give you a hug and a kiss and call you back for even one more. If I knew it would be the last time I'd hear your voice lifted up in praise, I'd videotape each action and word so I could play them back day after day. If I knew it would be the last time I could spare an extra minute or two to stop and say I love you instead of just assuming you knew that I do. If I knew it would be the last time I would be there to share your day, well, I'm sure you'll love so many more, or I'm sure that you'll have so many more, so I'll just let this one slip away. For surely there's always tomorrow to make up for any oversight. And we always think we'll get a second chance to make all those little things right. If I knew it would be the last time that I'd see you fall asleep, I would tuck you in more tightly and pray the Lord your soul to keep. That's just one of the poems I cut out a long time ago, not long after Sam was born. As a new dad, I guess, and started seeing things a little differently. But to what I've got to say, if kind of tend to want to slump here, so I'm going to try to speak up a little bit. Are you ready? Or, better yet, what are you ready for? Now, I'm going to tell you, the world out there is messed up. It really is. It's people out there that, you know, I see this. These things come to me like in the end times. The people are going to be acting a certain way. They're going to be doing certain things. And, you know, anybody that knows me, son, I'll sit down and talk to you about some end time stuff. Because I got a thing that I think we need to be watching, learning these seasons and the signs and stuff. But I don't want to rattle on about that. The days of Noah. Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, you find out about all these different societies that, God found to be atrocious. He abhorred them. He hated them. Some of the children of Israel. I've got a buddy of mine, and I love him to pieces. But, you know, he talks about his God. His God is loving, is mercy. There ain't no vengeance in his God. There ain't no, you know, you start acting like you a hater, like they call him some. I'm going to tell you something. God's got a set of rules, and he tells us what those rules are. And he's going to tell you, and tells you throughout the whole Bible, you're going to be held accountable to those rules. And it doesn't matter if you believe him or not. But the world doesn't believe. And I just look at the TV, look at the newspapers. And I'm telling you, if you're brave, look at the internet. It's worse than anything out there. And I can see why, because on the internet you can hide behind some fictitious made-up name. You can say whatever you want without any accountabilities. People are going nuts. They really are. There's no shame. And I believe we're racing toward judgment. I really believe that underneath the altar before the presence of our Lord, the saints, the souls, the martyrs are screaming, calling out, when are you going to avenge us? And he's going to avenge them. He says, I'm going to take care of business. So whether or not we're in the end times or not, maybe. You know, maybe. Like we heard, shouldn't have to worry about it being the end times, because today could be the end day for you or me. But Isaiah 59 is what come to mind. I'm going to start at verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquities. I'll stop right there. That's what I get when I look around at the news. They, you know, I like to think, well, I'm not in they. I'm in the ark. Well, I really hope and pray I'm in the ark. But I'm going to tell you, I'm no better than anybody. Never thought I was any better than anybody. And this time of year, it really is a special time of year. Now, I don't want to offend anybody, and I try my best not to, and I don't argue. I won't argue. I'm not going to cast my pearls before swine unless they be rent into pieces. So I'm not going to get into some argument over philosophies. And you ask me, and I think, and I believe that you're sincere enough to care enough to want to know what I believe. I'll tell you. But there's a lot of people out there you run into. You know they're looking for a fight. You know they're not changing anything. You know they're going to attack you to tear you down. So be careful what you allow yourselves to be drawn into. And this is the world that's out there. Right here. Nobody pleads for truth. Where does evil live? Well, it prefers the dark. Don't want to come into the light, does it? Might get exposed. These things chill me when I read stuff like this. Because I can see it. And again, I'm not trying to be better than anybody else. That's not the case, because he's still working on me, and I thank the Lord for that. You know, there's times when it does sort of overwhelm me that he died for me. And it should overwhelm us as if I was the only one. You know what? To me, when I'm on my knees, head bowed at judgment at that point, it is going to be me and I'm the only one. And that's what it is for everyone. We have to be armed. We have to be protected. And He gives us all these things. You know, I threw a couple of whips in there. Yeah, I've done things. I can't blame Adam. I can't blame Eve. You know, I can't blame the serpent. Which is kind of sort of what happened, wasn't it? Serpent come along. He got blamed by Eve. He was like, well, you know, he beguiled me. Adam, well, and, you know, that woman you give me, she's crazy. You know, and we do that as humans. We like to feel good about what we're doing. But we don't always plead for the truth. We don't always call out for justice to be served, because sometimes justice means we have to face accountability and we get punished. All right, now if we'll jump on down to 7. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Yeah, I don't know about you or me or everybody else, but I tend to think a lot about abortion when I hear these type of things. Some of the genocide that's, you know, I'm not just going to beat on that, but some of the genocide that's going on in other countries. I mean, look at the actual newspaper to get past all of the propaganda that kind of beats you to death. There's wars out there. Tens of thousands of people being killed in some certain nations alone every year. I mean, read some of this stuff. And imagine it happening right here in America. You know, here's the thing. I'll pick on something. Mothers Against Drunk Driving. A few years ago, you know, a bunch of mothers got together. One of the mothers lost her child in a wreck. She picked up the cause, good cause, because it needed to be regulated. It needed to be put in check. People could go out here and they could drink and just do whatever they wanted to, and then they'd write it off. People were getting killed. Kids were getting killed. The organization picked up steam and took years to get going. Finally it did, and then what do? We tend to overregulate, and then we forget, and it dies back down. Oh my gosh, they invaded an embassy in on the island of, I just made up that country's name. That's not right. Let's go help them. Let's do something for democracy's sake. Fly in, drop a few boxes of stuff, and we help, and then we get bored with it. Nobody cares about that. Ah, come on now. Yeah, the thing in Japan, big deal, earthquake, I'm over that, go on. Guess what? People are still suffering. There's still radiation leaking from these nuclear plants. People are still dying. They're still hungry. The stuff's still all messed up. But I'm on something new on my newspaper, because that's just getting old. That's this country. It amazes me, our mindset, our attention span maybe, is real short. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their path. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Look at our politics. You know, got into a little bit of politics myself. I'm telling you right now, the smart way to be a successful politician is say, who's in charge? Does everybody like them? That's what I'm doing. You know, this time it was Republicans swinging in like a tidal wave. Let us not forget, a few years ago, the Democrats swung in a big wave. I tell you what, I'm thinking here in about 2 more years, the Democrats are going to swing back in a few more ways. You know why? More so than ever, people are ready and quick to blame somebody else and then accept the next person who's going to give them that miracle. We're buying snake oil off the back of some stagecoach in the middle of nowhere, just like they were years ago. They put a little bit of sweet stuff in it. They put a little bit of something that keeps you addicted. and the rest is just water. And we love it. That's what we're buying. And that way is not going to be a way of peace. Therefore, justice is far from us. Nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness. In a moment of despair, and everybody gets there sooner or later, guarantee it, you're going to be down, you're going to be out, you're going to be alone. You're going to be in darkness, and you're going to want to find light. I'm telling you, I don't care how dim and how small the smallest light is, but in the darkest of night, that light is glorious to you when you need it. Each one of us are a light. What's the old saying? You know, it's a war out there. Do something. If you can't preach, well, find something else to do. It's a war. If you can't shoot, carry bullets. Reload. Help supply lines. You don't want to have darkness. Nothing but darkness when you need light. And somebody else out there may be needing a light that you can be. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. I don't want to walk in blackness. I don't want to walk in darkness. To me, what is that? You know, to me, it's symbolic. The Bible is just, to me, so full of symbology. You know, Jesus was a light. We walk in the light. Kind of thinking that's kind of what it's alluding to here, too. You know, these people that they're describing are not walking in Jesus. They're not walking in the light. This is the world, what the world has to offer. We grope for the wall like the blind. And we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as if it were twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. That's what we've got out here. So who's going to be a light? Yeah, you know, it's the forgiveness thing. I'm telling you. I say he's still working on me, and he is still working on me. I get ill. I get upset. I have to bite my tongue. Oh, and I got a whole string of thoughts that race across my mind that I'm glad that little connection ain't made to my mouth at that time. And I'm glad I feel bad about it. And I'm glad that I thank the Lord for still working on me. You know, we die daily. We can't judge anybody. We have no place. We have no room in that. Some of the churches that I see, and I don't like to be critical in that way, but I'm going to tell you, there's people out there that will judge you in a heartbeat. They will play you down. They will take their Bible and going to try to mold and make you what they think you ought to be, and they will beat you to death. They will run you straight to hell is what they'll do. And they're going to pay for it. But you're going to pay for it too. It's all about choice. All right, now at 11. We all growl like bears. My kids can tell you I've growled like a bear. Moan sadly like doves. Poor me. You know, I got some buddies of mine, and I like to tease them a little bit, but I'm just as guilty about having that credit card, Christian credit card. You know what? I've got troubles. We'll swipe that. Yeah, Jesus is going to take care of that for me. I've been working on digging this hole deeper and deeper and deeper. Hi, Jesus, can you pick me up out of here? Sometimes he will. Sometimes, though, he's going to let you get out of the hole by yourself. He's going to tell you, quit digging down, start digging at an angle and work yourself back out of the hole, because sometimes he knows if he takes you out, and I'm telling you, I've been took out the holes before. And here's what I'm doing before my feet hit the ground. I'm digging the next hole. Sometimes it's like that, and he knows better. So we got to learn. I've done it. Bible start doing the hole tomorrow. But he's still working on me. As a parent, obedience is better than sacrifice, right? Your kids obey you, it's a good thing. They disobey you, not such a good thing. But you're torn. I am. You love them so much. You want to forgive them, but you want to teach them. You want to show them. You want to just open your head and squeeze some of this good stuff you learned out in there. You know, use me as a filter. You don't have to do these things because I was crazy enough to do it or because I made mistakes. Yeah, every parent I think in the world at some time has felt that. And I was a kid too, and still am a kid. And I still don't listen sometimes, do I? You know? But it is a wonderful, blessed thing to have parents that are God-fearing. Parents that are brave enough, determined enough, vigilant, and don't let go of the Word of God. People that know me know what I believe. I believe the Sabbath is the seventh day. Always has been, always will be. I believe there are clean foods that are good for eating. And I believe that there are other things that we shouldn't be eating. I'm not going to judge anybody of, you know, how's the scripture go. I don't judge anybody on food or drink or the Sabbath days or holy days. Of course, the scripture wasn't given to the ones that weren't doing it. It was given to the ones that were doing it. And you were told, don't you worry about what they think about what you're doing. But now the world wants to turn it around. Say, well, now I can do what I want to because you don't have to worry about that stuff. No, that's not what it means. But the world's going to make fun of you. They're going to pick at you. They're going to laugh at you. And sooner or later, you're going to have to stand there and take it in some way. Because there's not anything you can say that's going to be done. Can do anything. And that's when, you know, you need the Lord to make you strong. Jump to 18. I want to read 18, 21, then this, I'll wrap this up. According to their deeds. Again, that's the ones we're talking about. Accordingly, he will repay. Now, that's another message I get in the Bible all the way through it. You're going to pay, and you're going to reap what you've sown. They're going to get paid for what they've done. That don't always mean good, does it? Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. I don't know. It's clear to me. Not all the things are clear. I'm saying that seems pretty clear. So, are we ready? World's definitely not ready. And I wonder sometimes, well, I'm not ready. Joke with the guy at work, you know. Well, let me tell you, down in the back corner of my house, Got a couple of cases of peanut butter. There's some bags of rice, a couple of cases of bottled water. So after the rapture, go by my house and get that. You can have it. You know, well, I tease about stuff like that. I shouldn't maybe, but, you know, I mean, it's I'll pick at him. And then he'll come by and, you know, he'll say something about, you know, when I get left behind here and there. And it's just good-natured, you know, fun. I mean, it's not trying to be blasphemous, but, you know, I think about stuff like that. I really do. How horrible would it be? Now, I'm not sure what you believe about raptures and stuff like that, but, I mean, it does speak of a point where somebody's going to come and take somebody and somebody's going to be left there. You know, I don't want to be the one left behind. I don't want to be the one down at the bottom of the mountain when Moses went to the top. You know, I don't want to be one of the people that, ooh, we don't want to go up there, God. And God gets mad and says, I tell you what, you don't even touch the mountain. Don't let your cattle touch the mountain. You better block it off and guard it because you're going to die. Well, God's kind of that way. You don't want to be with me, I don't want to be with you, and I don't blame him. As a human being, do you want to be with somebody, be married to somebody, be in a covenant relationship with somebody, and they lie to you, they cheat on you, they use and abuse you and take from you? Guess what? We are. That's what humans do. But he loves us. Let's just keep coming back. Keep trying again. One of these days, it's all going to say, whoop, all right, let's see where we're at. Here's the line, it's done. No more getting in, no more second chances. And that's when you need to be in. So, I state not that the question should be, are you ready? Because I think you're ready. I think everybody's ready. You're ready for something. Whether you know what you're ready for or not, it would probably be in your best interest to find out, to figure out what it is you're ready for right now. And if that ain't what you want it to be, there's answers, there's solutions. And I think it'd probably be better to start tearing up the knees of them blue jeans, getting them on the ground praying. You know, we're still in the feast days here. And again, that's... I believe when God says a perpetual covenant, sets things in order from now forever, that's the way it is. But it is a special time of year. And I'll jump to one more thing. Stephen. I have thought a lot about Stephen here lately. You know, it's everybody, the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel's story, Joseph, David. There's so many stories in the Bible that are outstanding stories. Do not get me wrong. Outstanding stories. But there's martyrs too. They wasn't plucked from the fire. They wasn't taken miraculously from the jail. They died. But Stephen, can we go to Acts real quick? It's 7 and 55, I think it is, and 7 and 59. Two of my favorite verses, and I just got to read those verses, and then we'll call it good. But he, talking about Stephen, because now he's been preaching at them. They've been, you know, they took him in, a little backstory here. You know, Jesus ascended, and they were kind of just lost, beat up, broke down, no strength. Well, he told them to tarry, to wait. The day of Pentecost, the Spirit come in, just rocked their world, set the whole revolution on fire, if you will. They started preaching. They was told, don't preach. Yeah. Because, I mean, these first guys, they were tough now. They rode up with authority that was not their own. And Stephen, you know, he'd go down and preach, you know, and then they'd kind of run him off. Ah, you can't do that. Get out of here. Well, anyway, they get mad at him at a point because he ain't cutting no slack. Son, he's throwing it down on them, you know. They got him in this little court set up kind of thing, review, whatever you want to call it, before the magistrates. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is on him. And that's got to be a glorious thing. So they take him out. Finally, the world, now you got to understand, this is how it's going to be. The world, if the Lord does not decide to bring you out, the world is going to overcome you physically. Because they don't like the truth. It strikes too hard. And God's plan may be that you be martyred in some cases. And I won't say you're all going to get martyred. I'm saying it just, it goes with it. Coin has two sides. So they're mad. Well, they're just blowing up. And they're stoning him. I think the verse 4 him says something about the gnashing of the teeth. They're so mad. Thank you, Don. When they heard, now, 55, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Wow. Does anybody else get that? Wow. And said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Of course, you know, it says they got all like Superman and all attacked him. Can you imagine that? That would be such a gift to me, I think. So they just grabbed him, they threw him out of the city, and they stoned him. You know, he's to the point of just dying, last breath. 59. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That's a bigger Christian than I am. He's still working on me, but to be able to look into the heavens and see, and yet to still be able to sincerely. Now, I don't mean just, forgive. Oh, yeah, that one's a good shot. But to sincerely mean that he wanted it not to be laid, the charge on them. That's a big thing now. Now, in closing, the perfect verse, almost, maybe. Back to Isaiah 59 and 21. I think it's just a good verse. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouths of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. I'm kind of thinking, you find the right place in the Word, and that Word gets in your mouth, and it's from God, it's going to last. It's going to be the right thing, the real thing. After all, is Jesus not the Word of the living God? You just got Yeshua coming into your house, and that's the good thing. Y'all pray for me. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope I didn't say anything to offend anybody or look too stupid, I guess, which that really doesn't matter because I'm used to that too. But don't forget there's a lot of people suffering out there. There's a lot of things going on still. And don't forget to pray for the Bobo family because they really do need it.